The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 5, The AVA Sucks. Well, wasn't my new associate the feisty one? Although a vampire running for office seemed like a pretty silly idea. On the other paw, in Illinois, especially in Chicago, dead people have been known to vote, but they didn't run for office. On another paw, people in Missouri once voted a dead guy into the U.S. Senate. Vera laughed. So you want to out us? There's no law against being dead, is there? They can't arrest us for just being us. That's un-American. Vera sobered and looked at Sammy. Another one bites the dust. She put a hand on Meg's arm and talked as if Meg were a 2-year-old.
Why don't you sit down, honey? This vampire thing is a terrible trauma, and we can understand if you're... upset. Sometimes, being undead really gets to people.
For sure, it was getting to me. Meg shrugged Vera's hand away. I'm not crazy. Sammy said,
Of course you're not. We do, however, have a resident psychiatrist who helps V's adapt to our lifestyle.
Meg turned to the people in the room. What kind of lifestyle is this? Hiding all day, cut off from everything we know and love, and then this discrimination on top of it. Sammy told Vera,
We should call security.
Seiko stepped next to Meg.
Maybe you should. You've got 2 crazy vampires on your hands.
A pair of men stood. I hadn't paid them much attention, but now I saw that they were identical twins. Same round-shouldered stance, same receding hairlines, same white shirts, blue ties, although the tie on the left-hand guy had stripes and the other one had little white dots. These guys were clean, too. None of the dirt smudges the rest sported. The one on the left said, We don't think. The one on the right said, She's crazy. Sammy walked to the front of the room and spread his hands in a calming gesture.
You folks are new to this. You just don't understand the reality of it.
The first twin said, We're lawyers. I'm Tim, and he's Tom, and there's nothing illegal about being dead. Tom added, Or undead. I recognized them from a commercial on my previous associate's television. They talked about helping people who have accidents. Amy had laughed and said, Weird, twin ambulance chasers. I wondered what Amy was doing now. Probably asleep. She'd worry about me. I wish there was some way I could let her know I hadn't just run away. Vera joined Sammy at the front of the room.
Maybe there aren't any laws about vampires yet, but there have been a lot of ripped throats and unexplained deaths. The breathers will come after us.
Meg looked horrified. You're still drinking people's blood? But I thought the AVA... Sammy said,
No, our members don't. We supply everyone with V1 juice. But there are still wild V's out there, ones like Lester, who prefer doing it the way nature intended. We'll get all the blame.
Vera said,
Do you want to be locked in a cell when the pain hits? Or dragged to a courtroom when the sun is up? You'd be dead. Deader. Totally dead.
Tim turned to Tom and said, Do you know what I'm thinking?
I sure do.
Together they said, The Americans with Disabilities Act. I wondered if they did the chorus thing a lot. Could be irritating. Tim said, Public buildings have ramps, Tom finished, so handicapped people have access to public services.
We can't access those services,
Tim completed the thought, because they're only open during the day when going out is fatal to us. It was strange to think of something being fatal to dead people, but there it was. The twins had a point. It was definitely a handicap. They duetted,
We'll sue.
Tim added, "We're good at suing." Sammy said,
"I'm afraid we can't allow that. You'd put us all in jeopardy."
That sounded like a threat. I stood on my chair and bristled at Sammy. Meg bristled, too. Turning to Seiko, she said, "Do you know if candidates can still enter the city council race?" Tim had the answer. "The deadline is 5 o'clock tomorrow." Sammy took a cell phone from his pocket and made a call.
"Bruce, come to the classroom. We need to, calm down some new V's."
Meg said, "You can't do that. We've got rights."
"Around here, I'm the one who decides who has rights and who doesn't."
Sammy looked like he was strutting in place.
"We've got a good thing going here, and you're not going to screw it up."
Isn't that the way it always is with runts of the litter? Trying to push other creatures around. Cats, of course, ignore the runts. For one thing, they're smaller, so it's easy to do. Survival of the fittest and all that. Sammy's beady eyes shifted to behind Meg and me. Funny, I hadn't noticed before that they were beady. I looked, and a human being who resembled a two-legged building squeezed through the classroom doorway. Sammy said,
"Bruce, please come in."
Chains rattled when Bruce stepped into the room. One humongous hand dangled several pairs of handcuffs. Sammy pointed at Meg.
"This one first. Poor soul, she's really confused."
Meg glanced down at me, then leaned close and whispered, "I'm sorry it ended up this way, Patch." She faced the brute, her little fists clenched. I decided that I wouldn't end up the way she was thinking. I tried to assure her with a murr, and she gave me a small smile. Then I leaped from my chair and ran. Meg shouted, "Go, Patch, go!" Bruce lifted a boot, yeah, thick-soled motorcycle boots, to stomp me, but I dodged with ease and flashed past him and out the door. Sammy's voice came after me.
"Forget the cat. We'll get him when the pain hits. Take those two."
I heard Lawyer Tim, or was it Lawyer Tom, say, "This is not legal."
"So sue me."
Sammy chortled at his riposte. The witless are so easily amused by themselves. Okay, I was free. Now what? I got looks from office vampires as I trotted along, but no one tried to catch me. The scent of warm blood drew me into the break room, but no one was there, so I continued on. I came to the elevator doors and tried leaping for the down button. I missed and fell hard. Thinking of the talk about permanent wounds, I didn't want to break a leg that would never heal. Enough leaping. The buildings people make are not cat-friendly, and I resented that more than ever now. I butted a door marked exit with my head, but it didn't budge. I hated it when I needed human help to do things, especially for escaping from crazed vampires. Maybe it was just as well. I didn't feel right about leaving Meg to face the brute squad alone. I trotted back to the classroom and saw Meg and Seiko backed into a corner by Bruce. Sammy fidgeted behind him.
"Just grab one of them."
He turned to the others in the room and held his arms wide.
"Sorry about this, folks. Sometimes newbies are a little unhinged by the experience."
Meg said, "I'd like to unhinge you." Like I said, feisty. I like that in an associate. Tim, or was it Tom, took a step forward and said, "I protest. They are clearly not violent." Bruce grabbed for Meg's wrist, but she clasped her hands behind her back and pressed against the wall. Seiko did the same. Pointing at Seiko, Sammy said,
"That one was throwing chairs."
Tom, or was it Tim, joined his brother. "Only to stop a true madman," he called to Meg. "Miss, do you want legal representation?" Sammy said,
"You guys shut up or you're next."
Okay, Sammy was the man, giving the orders. Cats have a built-in resistance to orders. You may have noticed that we don't take orders well. Why should we? We can just walk away and live off the land. If, that is, somebody opens the door for us. I needed to get Bruce away from Meg, but he wasn't going to move, unless Sammy told him to. I loosed a fighting yowl and charged straight at Sammy. Bruce yelled, "Ka ka 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 ka," You should have seen Sammy's eyes bulge when I came at him. I guessed he didn't want permanent scratches like I left on Lester, because he scrambled backwards, circling the lectern. I pursued, but I skidded on the linoleum floor and slid into the wall. Bouncing off, I launched myself in Sammy's direction. He climbed up on a chair, which promptly folded, and he fell to the floor.
Get the cat! Get the cat!
Perfect. Bruce lumbered after me. I leaped over Sammy. Well, not exactly over. I happened to plant a paw in his nose on the way. He squealed. I ran under chairs, and Bruce plowed through them like an icebreaker at the North Pole. Throwing a quick glance back, I saw that Meg still stood in the corner. I doubled back and ran in her direction. Bruce followed in a wide turn that had him slamming into a wall. Meg held her arms out for me, but I ran behind her and butted her leg with my head. Bruce rushed us. She said, "I got it, Patch." With a "come on" to Seiko, she darted around Bruce. I flashed past him and toward the doorway. Sammy, now crouched on top of the lectern, screeched,
"Get the cat!"
I threw a fake to the left. Bruce lunged. I zigged. He fell on his belly, and I zagged past him. I glanced back and saw Meg run at Bruce, plant a foot on his butt, and leap over him. Seiko did the same, and I saw Tom and Tim follow on the run. I stopped outside the doorway, and Meg ran past me, toward the elevators, followed by Seiko and the twin lawyers. Sammy's screech continued,
"Get the cat!"
I had seriously upset the little feller. At last, Bruce burst out of the room, wildly scanning the office. Figuring Meg could use a diversion, I took a breath and hissed. Luckily, he had a couple of brain cells to rub together. He located the sound, not difficult, I was only 10 feet away, and lurched in my direction. Then I ran into the cubicle maze, darting left and right from one aisle to another. The big guy did his best, but he wasn't equipped for quick pursuit and sharp turns. I heard a crash, followed by a curse from a woman. "You broke my goddamn cubicle!" Using my infallible sense of direction, I ran for the elevator, only to see the doors close. Going to the exit door, I put my head against it and shoved with everything I had. Didn't budge. I heard footsteps and spun, but it was just a vampire worker. Pacing in front of the door, I breathed in and mewed plaintively. How humiliating. But the worker obliged and opened the door for me. I plunged down the stairs for the parking level under the building. Naturally, the big metal door at the bottom that led to the parking garage was closed, but I had some luck. A big blue button with a handicapped icon on it was on the wall, a couple of feet above the floor. I figured I was handicapped in my own special way, so I jumped and hit it. The door opened, and I ran into the parking garage. About 20 feet dead ahead, yeah, I know, I saw a big black van idling. Tom was at the wheel, and Meg stood beside the open sliding door. "Patch!" I slowed to a walk. Phew, I gotta tell you, I was getting a little weary of the constant chase scene. And then I heard a growl. Lester stepped between me and the van, Nasty the dog at his side. He growled again. Lester, that is, not the dog.
The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning, by the Grateful Dead.
Please don't hurt me.
For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.